Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to gather together in this place, on this day, during this season, Lord God, of thanksgiving. Lord God, we honor you today, Lord, for your goodness. We honor you today, Lord, for your mercy, your kindness that you have shown to us. Lord, in this season, Lord God, we bless you right now, Father, for all that you have done and what you are going to do, Lord. Lord, we pray and ask that you remember those that are sick in their bed. Lord, especially remember Overseer Irvin, Lord. Continue to strengthen, Lord God. Lord, to bless her, Lord God, to raise her up and to bless those that are assisting. Lord God, to give them knowledge, give them understanding, Lord God, of what needs to be done. Lord God, we pray and ask that you remember those across the country, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you with excitement for souls that are being saved and for souls that are filling this place, souls that are being drawn into your house of prayer, wherever you draw them, Lord God. I'm saying thank you in accord and in junction with those, oh Lord God, of the household of faith, Lord. Lord, for the saving of souls, Lord. Lord, there's nothing greater, Lord, except the soul be saved. Lord, we know that you understand that, Lord God, and we just want to express that ourselves, Lord God, and our gratitude, Lord, that someone is delivered from the gates of hell. Lord God, we thank you right now and ask that you continue to bless your word, Lord God, as we go forth this morning to honor you, Lord God, on this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. In the book of Psalms, the musicians are anxious, but in the book of Psalms, I'm going to be reading from the 124th verse. As we come to the end of the year, it's not the end of the year yet, but the psalmist said, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they have swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. The waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who have not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Our help, I'm reading it again, our help is in the name of the Lord. If you didn't know that, I want you to be clear about it today. Your help, our help, is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. That is Psalms 124, 1 through 8. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you.
How great is our God? All need to see how great our God is today. Amen. Bring these greetings from Cornerstone Apostolic Church, located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, where Jesus is Lord. No doubt this is a very exciting time of the year. It's Christmas season. Children are excited. Adults are excited alike. You know, we're all excited about this season. It's an exciting time, whether you are a practicing believer or one that just believes. People around the world are recognizing the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, and that's wonderful. That is, as someone said, fantabulous. Christ has been recognized around the world by many. And so during this time, we want to, as we have recognized and throughout the year, we join in this time to, and as many of those that are saying Merry Christmas, we extend Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everyone. I pray that you have a very enjoyable time with family, friends, or whatever you are planning to do this season. This is a particular season. This season is, I'm kind of ahead of myself here, but this is a season of giving. Huh? I think that everyone recognizes that. This is a season, a time of sharing. Jesus shared with us. God shared with us. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish. And so his birth represents so much more than Walmart. It represents so much more than gift cards or Jared's Jewelers. That's all fine and dandy. And I hope that you, and please enjoy your presence, and be sure to thank the parent, family member, friend, the individual that gave you that wonderful gift. However, Galatians 4:3-5 gives us some insight. It says, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage. We were held captive. You know, think about it. What had you bound? What had you captive? There are some children that was born in church, but yet at the same time, they realized that they were, something had a hold of them, and they surrendered their lives unto the Lord. And there are those of us that came into the church that were not raised in church, and the Lord sent His goodness. The Bible said the goodness of the Lord leads you to repentance. The Lord sent His goodness our way in the form of someone, a witness, that told us about the Lord. And maybe it took a few times, but someone planted a seed and someone watered and God gave the increase. But we were in bondage. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited about the Lord this morning. So excuse me. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about salvation. We were in bondage under the elements of this world. There are elements that control this world. And this is why when people that are all caught up in the politics and trying to bring the politics in the church and preach a political message and all of that, listen, you need to pray. You need to pray because there are elements in the world that only God can control. And God gave us a very, very important key in our existence, in our journey here. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. That's important worldwide for every believer to know. Chronicles, I believe it's Chronicles 7 and 14. You can check that on your own time, but that's important to work against the elements of this world. If we would seek God and humble ourselves and pray and yield ourselves unto the Lord instead of yielding ourselves unto so many other things, that God said He would heal the land. Well, don't you know that that means that He would supersede and rule over whatever decree the king made? The Bible said Daniel, and I'm paraphrasing this, but Daniel prospered during the time of his captivity. Daniel and those that chose to consecrate themselves unto the Lord prospered, and the people were jealous. The people were so upset with the fact that Daniel was prospering among them. Daniel had become ruler. Daniel and his friends were recognized by the authority that was there. And they went to Daniel and they said, hey, pray about this. Daniel had no problems with saying, hold it, wait a minute. I understand what you would like me to do, but I need to pray about this. I wonder, is there anybody in the White House that's telling the president, hold on, let's pray about this. I'm going to go pray about this. I wonder, is there anybody on the job that maybe you can't come right out and tell your boss, you know, I need to pray about that, but you tell them, I don't have an answer right now for you, but just give me a few minutes and give me a moment and let me go research this and come back, and you go to God in prayer. I can tell you that works. I can tell you from my own experience that it works. So the Bible said that we were in bondage. I'm liking what I'm reading here. Excuse me, but we were in bondage under the elements of this world, and I didn't know it. You didn't know it. We didn't know it until it was brought to our attention that we were in bondage, and it was by the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, for this purpose. For this purpose. This is what we're celebrating. This is what the celebration is about during the season. Is that to redeem them, sent forth His Son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God had a purpose in mind
for the birth of Jesus Christ, and that was to bring us out, to redeem us, to bring us back to where we were, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That deserves a Merry Christmas. That deserves to tell everybody that you see, Merry Christmas. Bless you, Lord God. Because we were under the law, we were in bondage, but God, at the appointed time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem us, that we would receive the adoption of sons. We, beloved, we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He appear, we shall be like Him. Why? Merry Christmas. Bless you, Lord. Merry Christmas. My God, we know when He appear, we're going to be like Him. But until that day, I'm going to continue to say Merry Christmas. Now, if you hear me say Merry Christmas in February, you should understand why. If you hear me say it in March or any other time, you know, that we don't consider, you should understand why. Because the Bible tells us in Luke. Now, we've been in the book of Luke, and we never gave it a theme, but today I'm giving you a theme to work off of as you study the book of Luke. Now, I know that we traveled halfway through it, but here's a thought. Here's a theme that you can add to it, and that theme is from the trough to the cross. The Bible tells us in Luke, the second chapter, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus to all the world that they would be taxed." Taxing goes back, actually, you'll find out that when you look at taxes, there were some young men that went to the king, and I'm going to leave that open as a Bible assignment. They went to the king, and they said, "King, if you tax the people, and I'll give you a hint later, if you tax the people and make them work hard, then, you know, make them pay tribute." And that's where our taxing system came from, because taxing did not always exist. Now, someone may already know what I'm talking about there, but they listened, the king listened to the young men instead of the older men, the elders, that were saying, "Go easy on the people. Don't be hard on the people." Leaders have to understand there's a balance that needs to be in place when working with people. And I can appreciate those that know how to get you to do something, can lead you and help you to understand how to do something better without bullying you or threatening you in such a way. But they know how to bring it about with some laughter and some joy and help you understand it a little better. The decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when there was a governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed, he went there to be taxed with Mary, his spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. It was time. During the time that they was traveled, it must have been in the 7th, 8th month. And by the time they arrived there and got settled into a place, which was not very accommodating, but settled into a place, that it was, she was ready to give birth. She went into labor. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. People had traveled all across the country to be in their place to give this sense, to be censored and to pay taxes, to give tribute accordingly. And by the time they arrived, the hotels, the rooms, everything had been booked up. And they found themselves in the barnyard, so to speak. They found themselves where the animals would be at. And so when she gave birth, she wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The manger comes from the Latin word mandicure, which means to eat. A manger or crib is a wooden or stone feeding trough for a food box that holds hay for large farm animals like cattle, horses, donkeys. And so this manger, this trough, was located wherever livestock would have been kept. Places like stables, corrals, caves. And so I want you to understand something. Excuse me. That this was no accident. There was no accident to what was happening here. Philippians tell us that being found in the fashion as a man, that he, Christ, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ humbled himself. And that's what I want you to look at, the humility here. He humbled himself and was born among animals. Our Lord and Savior came, and the Bible tells us in John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so when the Word became flesh and was born, the Bible said that he humbled himself. But he humbled himself as a man. Now, I want you to look at this, because not only did he humble himself, he was born among the animals. Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th to the 28th verse says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created them. And God blessed them. God blessed them. God blessed male and female. That's something we should do. We should bless one another. God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth." Now, we may not get through all of this, and so just want to say that, want to apologize that in advance. We may have to come back to some things, but Adam's assignment was to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Adam gave up. He gave up the right of having dominion that he would have had when he disobeyed the word of God. What have you given up by disobeying the Lord? That's something we have to be careful about. Adam lost what he would have gained, or what he already had, when he listened to what the serpent told Eve. He was supposed to have, he had dominion. He had power over this creation. And he surrendered it. He listened. When you start listening to other people, when you start listening to other things, instead of listening to the voice of God, it now brings you down to their level. When you start agreeing with those things, you have now brought yourself down. When Adam listened to what Eve had to say, who had listened to what the serpent had to say, he brought himself down. When Jesus was born and humbled himself, he brought himself down to where we were. We were no higher than what the animals were at that point. Bless your Lord. The Bible tells us that Sarah, we see a delay here, because Sarah told Abraham, said, God came and spoke these words and spoke that they're going to be fruitful, they're going to multiply, but Sarah hadn't had a baby yet. And so she told Abraham, said, listen, go ahead into Hagar, our bondmaid, and Ishmael was born. Well, it wasn't until 14 years later that Sarah conceived the promise that God had. What delay do we cause when we don't take heed to what God is saying? 14 years. This is why sometimes when things happen and we have to wait until time passed in order to receive what God has said, because we caused the delay in the process. She brought forth the firstborn son, the scripture tells us, we'll be back in Luke, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a trough because there was no bed for them in the inn. Luke 2:31-39 says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. So now Jesus is not in the trough. He's been taken to the physician, wherever they would have gone to have him circumcised. And then they called his name Jesus, which was named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The angel Gabriel had visited and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, and this is going to be the baby's name. Joseph, Mary is okay. She is in the will of God. She hasn't. She didn't do that, man. She's in the will of God, and this is of God, and his name is going to be called Jesus. He's not going to be Joseph Jr. His name is going to be called Jesus. And so, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that open of the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The Bible says, again, 8 days the child was circumcised and his name was called. Circumcision is the removal of foreskin from the male organ. It reduces the risk of uncleanliness that leads to imperfection and disease and other complications in the urinary tract. We have the responsibility to our children to protect them from uncleanliness, infection, diseases, and complications that exist in this life. We have that responsibility. Not only do we need to be circumcised naturally, but the foreskins of our heart need to be circumcised. We need to have them, our heart circumcised, so that we can be protected from uncleanliness, infections, deadly disease, and other complications. Jeremiah 6:10 says our needs to be circumcised so that we can hear the word of God. Our ears need to be circumcised so that we can hear the word of God. Those that cannot hear the word of God is because their ears are too heavy. There's too much skin in the way, which represents the flesh, the desires of this world. So the scripture says, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, and they cannot hear, Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. The child's name was called after the circumcision. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. She didn't call him out of his name because she was angry at her father, at her father. She didn't refer to him as some little nigger or anything else outside but his assigned name. We harm ourselves and those that would be a blessing to us when we don't look at who they are and who they could be. Having a child outside of wedlock is not the worst thing that you'll experience in this life. Let me say that again. Having a child outside of wedlock is not the worst thing that you will experience in this life. Mistreating the child is. From the continual reading of the scripture, Jesus traveled with his parents to the celebration of the Passover. So now we have Jesus, who was born in a trough. Now he's been circumcised after 8 days. Name is given. Everybody know his name. And he's traveling with his parents up to the Passover, the celebration of the Passover. At this time, Jesus, some years have gone by. The baby Jesus, that is, that you have in, that you see in so many nativity scenes, have grown to be a child. So, while we're celebrating Christmas, shouldn't we recognize that Jesus has now grown from, have gotten out of that trough, that he has moved on with his life from being an infant to being a child? Well, let's go on a little further here. The child in the next scene grew. If the child is not growing, if your child is not growing, quickly stop. If you're in this service, if your child is not growing, leave the service right now and take your child to the hospital. Find out what's wrong, because something is terribly wrong. The child grew into a man full of the Holy Ghost, and the enemy of all mankind went after him, showed him a vision. You know, the Bible said that Jesus was led into the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil. The enemy of all mankind, the devil, is. And he had him look over the world and tried to make him bow down and to give up dominion. If Jesus would have bowed down, we would not have salvation today. What would be the purpose of celebrating Christmas? What would be the need of any of that? But Jesus passed the test. Had Jesus not passed the test, he would not have been able to pass through the crowd that wanted to stone him. Had Jesus not passed the test, many would not have been healed after the Sabbath sunset. Had Jesus not passed the test, the miracles in Luke where they caught a large amounts of fish wouldn't have never occurred. If Jesus hadn't passed the test, the lepers would have never been cleansed. Let me go this way with it. If he was still inside the trough, then Jesus, the lepers, would not have been cleansed. There wouldn't have been a large catch of fish. There wouldn't have been healing after the Sabbath. Peter's mother would not have been healed from sickness. If Jesus was still in the trough, the paralytics would not have been healed. If Jesus was still in the trough, the healing that occurred of the centurion's servant would not have happened. The widow's son would not have been raised from the dead. If Jesus was still in the trough, the wind and the waves would not have obeyed him. The man that was possessed with demons would not have been healed. If Jesus was still in the trough, Jairus' daughter would not have been brought back to life. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years would not have been able to touch the hem of his garment. Bless your Lord. The feeding of the 5,000 would not have occurred because he would have been in the trough and he would not have touched, blessed the food that the lunch that the woman had made her son and shown a miracle of feeding 5,000 men and then the women and children. The boy would not have been healed if Jesus was still in the trough. We could go on and on and on and on. But from the trough to the cross, I'm saying Merry Christmas. Bless your Lord God. If Jesus was still in the trough, if he was still in the trough, where is he at today in your life? Where is he at today? Do you know where Jesus is today? Is he stuck on the nativity scene?
He's in heaven.
He's in, Brother LG said he is in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, representing the sacrifice that was made for us. Again, Merry Christmas. Bless your Lord. From the trough to the cross, and that's what we're studying here at Cornerstone, is we're looking at where Jesus was and where he went to. What he did and what we're supposed to be doing, because he told us, he said, greater things that we would do. He left and he said that we are going to, that we're going to take his place. And so we're now in the stewardship of the place of Jesus' ministry after 33 years. And he gave up the ghost. Bless your Lord God. I'm going to stop with that, but I'll be back. Bless your name, Jesus, with more. And I pray that something has been said that has stirred up your heart, that will continue to stir up your heart. And maybe I'll run into you in February or March or some other time during the year and say Merry Christmas, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.